Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you. Our gospel lectionary text on this first Sunday in the liturgical season of Advent. Hear these words of the Lord. But about that day and hour, no one knows. Who knows? No one knows. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As for the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. As for in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Here ends the reading. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to be caught watching for the second coming of the Lord. For your word says, blessed are they who are caught watching. Our eyes will not only be to the sky, but as well as upon the earth, serving you as we serve others, as is your example. It is not our desire to know the day, but to be caught doing your will when that day comes. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Advent is about looking back and looking forward. This is the new year of the Christian year. There was a Roman mythology character named Janus, who was a two-headed creature. One head looked to the right, one head looked to the left. They were looking behind and ahead. And this is sort of what we do in this new year. We look at where we have been and where we are going. We look back to see what God has done for us, as well as what God is going to do through us when we look at the future. Advent is a time that we remember about that first time that Jesus broke into this world. But Advent is also about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Some of us are aware of those persons called Adventists. Are we not? Yes. I have relatives who are Adventists. And Adventists talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's why they're called Adventists. You and I as well are looking for that second coming. That's why we're alive. That's where our hope lies. Because you and I are not going to be left here. You and I are aliens in this world. You and I do not belong here. As a result of not belonging here, you and I are in need of salvation, and we cry out for that salvation. You and I are broken. You and I are not righteous. Therefore, we need someone to come and to save us, to rescue us. And that one is Jesus. This is where our hope lies. This is what Advent is all about. It is a staying awake. It is an alertness. It is being aware of what's going on without getting too common and just living que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. You and I do not have Doris Day theology. Amen? We have a theology that has expectations. We have expectations. We can have expectations because we have a covenant with the Almighty God. If I didn't have a covenant with the Almighty God, then I could not expect the Almighty God to fulfill the covenant relationship. But as a result of having a covenant, I can expect Him to act, and He can expect
me to act. Therefore, I expect him to come back, and he expects me to be watchful and waiting. For those of us who have been blessed to have children, I remember the day that Mary called me from the district office and she said to me, "The rabbit has died." I was sort of sad at first. I really wasn't sure what she was trying to say to me. I thought, "Well, I'm so sorry that the rabbit has died." She said, "No, you're going to be a father." And I thought, "Me? I'm going to be a father?" She said, "Yes, and I'm going to be a mother." It was our first child, Anna. I said, "Oh my gosh. Well, that means you're expecting." And she said, "Yes, I'm expecting." And I said, "You're going to have a baby." And she said, "Yes, I'm going to have a baby." And I said, "Well, when are you going to have it?" And she said, "Sometime in April." And I said, "When in April?" She said, "I don't know." I said, "What do you mean you don't know? I mean, it's your baby. Don't you get to decide when you have it and when you don't? I mean..." She said, "Well, the doctors have given us a guesstimation. They said about mid-April, but you know, it's just a guesstimation. So you know what we did as expected parents. You know what you did as expected parents. There were so many things that we did as we expected, and we looked forward and we watched and we waited and waited and waited, and we thought that Anna would never come because she didn't come in the middle of April. She didn't come 2 days after the middle of April. She didn't come the week after the middle of April. She didn't come 8 days after the middle of April. I didn't know if Mary was just going to keep her and never have her or not. I said, "Are we going to have this baby or not?" And Mary said, "Yes, but we're going to let this baby decide on its own," because we didn't know what the baby was. "And we're not going to induce, we're going to let it come natural." I said, "Oh, okay." Well, it was night time. Early, early morning. And I knew something was up because I saw a flashlight under the covers go off and on. Off and on. And I saw a hand, a wrist, in the shadow of that flashlight. Someone was checking the time. And it was birth pains. Well, you know what happens before that. You get Braxton Hicks and you run to the hospital and you say, "We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby." And you know, if it's your first baby, they tell you to sit over there, and you sit there for about 5 hours. And of course you sit there, and of course the pains go away, and it's a false occurrence. So you go back home. But then the day comes when it's not a false occurrence, it's the real thing. And of course, when we started going to the hospital, they were doing road work on 282. The road was partially closed. There were workers at night working, and I motioned one to please come to the car, and he did. And I said, "Sir, I've got to get around all this. My wife is having a baby." And he said, "Okay, well, we'll get you around all the work." And he did. And we got to the hospital. And as we expected and as the doctor said, but not on time, we had to wait. But we were watching and waiting. Eventually, Anna came. Well, when they brought her to Mary, I said, "Mary, this is something I'm sure you're accustomed to, because Mary used to keep children." But she said something to me that I'll never forget. She said, "I've held other children, but I've never held my own." Jesus comes so that you can hold your own. Your Savior, your Lord, your God, who is also our Lord and our God. You and I watch and we wait. And some days we seem that he's going to come pretty sure because we're having a bad day. And if he's not coming, maybe we could talk him into it. But we're still here, 2,000 years after. But as Jesus said, he will come when no one expects it. Like Noah, people will be warned that he is coming. Like the flood is coming. And they looked around and they didn't see a cloud in the sky. The sea was a long way off. And they thought the person beating the drum, warning them of the soon coming flood, must have lost his mind. So they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were at the wheel. They were at the meal. They were doing what they normally do day after day after day. And they got very accustomed to hearing the floods are coming soon. And before long, they just sort of forgot about it. And then it thundered. And then it lightened. And then the rains came. And those who warned of the coming got on the boat. And God sealed it shut. And the ones who were left behind drowned. The ones that were taken, let me back up. The ones that were taken drowned. The ones that were left behind were on the boat. The ones who were left behind got to continue sharing the good news of the gospel. Those that were taken were caught off guard, for they had stopped watching. They had stopped waiting. They thought that every day was going to be the same. Oh, yes, they had heard that the floods were coming, just like we hear that Jesus is coming. But is he really? He hasn't come yet. I have a feeling that there are some of us who's going to beat him coming to us as we beat him getting to him. There's some of us who are going to meet him before he has a chance to meet us. We're going to close our eyes before he comes and delivers us. But however he comes, you and I are to watch and we are to wait. You and I do not want to be the ones who are taking away. You and I want to be the ones left behind. For when you and I interpret this story in light of Noah's story, and that's how you have to interpret the story. Noah was on the boat. He was left behind when the others were swept away. His life was saved. The other lives perished. I pray to you and me this day that as we come to this altar rail to receive this cup and this bread, that you and I would be praying to be watching and waiting, for that when he does come, we shall be those who will experience his salvation. We will be the ones left behind. We will not go first. We will be here to receive him. We will be here to receive the new heaven and the new earth as it comes out of the heavens, as Revelation states. Today, brothers and sisters, you and I are Advent people. We're watching. We're waiting. And when he comes, we're the ones who will be left behind to welcome him and to greet him. For he is our God and we are his people. For it's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On page 12... we will now go to page 13, under the Great Thanksgiving. I will read that which is in light print and ask you to respond by reading that in bold. Hear these words of the Lord. The Lord be with you. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, from covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his sufferings and death, and the resurrection you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Would you join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together, which begins, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May the Lord go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you to lift you from your sorrows, within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you to show you the way. Amen.